I think that's absolutely brilliant, Morris. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't mind it either.
Not bad at all. That is, what's it called? The Tech Talk Shuffle by Morris and his AI. That's excellent, isn't it?
Who knew I had such talents, Phil? Who knew?
Yeah, well done, Morris. That's my afternoon sorted out. We're with Morris Misilowski, who's been composing all morning. So, immediate question, what's that app?
Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Yay.
It's an app from Suno, S-U-N-O .ai. Just pump that into a search engine or onto your phone or whatever, and it'll come up. It's a really simple free app, you know, my favourite budget free app. You need about 200 characters, not very many words, in other words, you know, maybe 35 words or so. Just tell it the sort of thing you want it to include or have. You choose some genres, so literally there are some buttons that you press. I mean, you don't, because it's on the screen, but you know what I mean. And you tell it, you know, what sort of thing. Give it about 30 seconds. It'll come up with two options for you, and you can listen away.
And it comes
and
up
just
with
keep changing.
Just the right tempo as well. Anyway, thanks for that, Morris. I'm keeping that. We'll use that again and again and again. For what we do today is, I know Morris has been using AI bits and pieces for a while. I love messing around with it. It's really fun, but you have to make it behave. So, Morris, tell us what you want to do today.
Today, based on what you've talked about, I thought we might just go back to basics, look at what this AI thing is, what it does, what it isn't, really what it isn't, more of anything else. Let's have a look at some of the interesting tools like Suno, some other stuff that we can do, and maybe I can share a couple of tips if you want about how to write a good prompt.
Yeah.
Whatever, as usual, let's meander and see where it takes us.
Let's quickly go to your website first up, morrisfuturist.com. He's done lots of stuff about AI, but your AI remembers everything. Welcome to the age of digital twins. Now, basically, if I have several projects going on, I like using Copilot for the jobs I need. It's a cracker. It remembers. It's got an overall arc of all of my jobs. So it remembers my vocabulary, and that's pretty cool. That's what you're writing about.
Yeah, it is. Last week, ChatGPT, the big brand on the block, of course there are lots of other versions, Perplexity, everything else, but ChatGPT, and also Google Gemini also did the same thing, independent of each other.
Yeah.
Last week announced that they were turning long-term memory on, which meant that, as you've just said, it will remember everything.
Context and the way
it's
you
kind of like your mother who
yeah.
doesn't yeah it's like your mother who doesn't let you forget anything. You know, 15 years ago you said you did. This is what it does, and it has good and bad. I mean, one of the good things is you've just described is you don't have to go into as often and tell it who you are, what you're doing, what the purpose of it is. It theoretically, and this is newish, so we'll see, but theoretically it can go back and just understand the full context of everything you do or want or say or need or whatever, and just tell it what the new stuff is, and it will do it based on that. In other words, it has become a facsimile, which is why I talk about in this term. We've talked about digital twins before.
We have, yeah.
To me, it is honestly the birth of the true digital twin, because it now remembers who you are, what you are, and can be more like you and know what you think and want sometimes before you do.
So we've moved from digital assistant to digital twin.
Yeah, and it's a big shift. Something that I've been rabbiting on about 15, 20 years, I kind of always knew it would be here, because our mobile phone to me was the hint. Our mobile phone, something we carry around with us that we've all taken for granted. It's benign, sits in our pocket, sits in our handbag or on our desk or wherever. But it's not benign. It's just sitting there, and it knows everything. It knows who you've called. It knows your diary. It knows what you're looking up. It knows where you've been. It knows what you've ordered. And the list goes on and on. But it's not stitched together. They're independent silo apps or information. What this new ChatGPT does, or has the capacity to do, if you allow it, is to take all of that information with your permission, plus everything you've ever told ChatGPT or whatever version you're using, and remember and pretend to be you. And on some hands, and we'll talk about that, it's a terribly horrible, sinister, bad human thing possibility. But on the other hand, it's an incredible, wonderful, good human possibility too when it comes to, you know, one of my favourite topics is medicine. When it comes to medicine and pre-trialing things, in other words, let's not give Phil the injection yet because it may not work on him, but we can try it on his digital twin because it has all of the memory of having all of his x-rays, all of his blood tests. It knows how he walks, it knows his exercise, knows how he snores, how he sleeps and the rest of it. So we can pre-trial it on that basis.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds very useful. It speaks your language. Put very simply.
It does. I mean, on an aside, but not really, there was, in the last week, there was the world's first automated IVF baby was conceived. the world's first automated IVF baby was conceived.
Cool.
Now, this isn't about you going into a vending machine and having a baby implanted, you know, like a robot or a good sci-fi movie. But what's happened here is that historically, over the last 30 or 40 years, with the incredible work IVF engineers, nurses, doctors do, is that they've taken an embryo and done all the things that we expect it to do. But now they're able to use, again, with humans there, it's now able to do the process independently. In other words, take what's required, but more importantly, check it to make sure the cells, the embryos, and all of the elements it's using are the way they should be. They don't have disease, they don't have any problems as far as we know. Choose the best embryos, the best eggs, and then with the assistance of humans, implant it. That's this automated IVF process. It's just happened in the last week or so.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, let's get down to where we said we were going to be going today, which is maybe some of the fun stuff that's not so well known. I know you've done tons of research in this area, like the music app you just used.
Yeah, so the music app is a great one. There are others too. So I've given you Suno, which is SOUSUNO.AI. There's also Udio, UDIO.
Oh, yeah.
Again, same sort of thing. Both of those are free, you know, the thing that I love the most. There's a one if you just want experimental sound, so you don't want voice so much. Those two do voice. This, and that one's called NSYNTH, NSYNTH, super. And that does experimental sound blending too.
Who might use that? Like professional music guys or just...
Yeah, for background music and that kind of stuff.
All right.
Absolutely. So that's a different form of it. There's also things, as you've said, there's Perplexity, which again is a ChatGPT version, but becoming very, very popular now as an alternative to ChatGPT.
It likes to reference actual stuff on the web.
Yeah, it does, and that's its big difference.
Yeah.
So ChatGPT will, if you want it to, and if you ask it to, it'll tell you what the references are, but this one likes to tell you, I read this and got this from here.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving you clear answers with its sources. It's almost like a Google, it's like a search engine googly thing, but just telling you this is where it came from.
Mm.
There's all sorts of things. I don't know whether you do many Zoom meetings, but I have quite a few. It doesn't matter with Zoom or Team or whatever else. But there's a whole lot of little robots that turn up before the actual person, and they are there. They have the person's name, and they are there to take notes and to record and then to summarize and send back next steps. So there are a lot of those. One of the most popular ones is tldv.ai.
What's the word on security with these things? I'm sure it's all sorted. But.
Now, security is it has the same ability to access the meeting as you do. So if you've been invited to it, then you can get your robot into it. The people in the meeting will have to decide, of course, if they like that or not. And that's a meeting by meeting, person by person.
Right.
But it has the authority to go where you go. In fact, many of them are hooked up into your diary, into your calendar. And the minute it sees it's a Team or a Zoom or something, it'll actually go by itself into the meeting and set itself up before you get there.
That saves a lot of time. And does it stop people going, can you hear me?
It doesn't, but it does record it and play. It does record it and it gives you the transcript of it. So I use something similar to that, which I found really helpful. Now I've been able to get my meeting notes done pretty much automatically, and then be able to go back and find stuff in them later, which is really helpful.
How does that work? What actually happens? I'm curious. Does it have voice recognition? Is that how it works?
So what it does is it actually listens in, or theoretically listens in, and it's taking notes. So it's recording word by word. It's transcribing, in other words, and then literally transcribes back into English or whatever language you want, and you can search through both of those. So you can search through the recording, the voice, or you can search through the transcript. I actually save a copy of the transcript with most of the files, most of the meetings, so I can go back into them later if I want to, and I can look for keywords or promises I made that I need to fulfil or other things.
Well, this is an interesting example of something you wrote about in your article, because you went on to talk about how to gauge its effectiveness. Has it worked properly for you?
Yeah, so you need to understand, because what I'm concerned about here is that when we get into this digital twinning thing and when we take these apps for granted, in other words, we just accept that they're there like electricity and gas, we've still got to be fairly careful that it's actually saying the right thing, doing the right thing and remembering the right thing. Because we've talked many times now, and again, the technology's new, so it's doing it, but this thing called AI hallucination, which is where it tells you things as if it's gospel truth, but nobody ever said it, nobody ever wrote it, nobody ever thought it.
And then you go back and you're like, hang on a minute, that's not right. But he does it so well.
Yeah, so, So where did it come from? And you've got to be careful. I mean, if you're using this stuff, like every tool, every technology, you are in charge of it, not it's in charge of you. You've got to check the veracity, make sure. Just do the pub test, as it's called. You know, yeah. When you're hearing it, seeing it, reading it, did this really sound like the meeting? Did it sound like me? Is it what I promised? Those kinds of things, I think, are important.
Do you have an explanation for that thing I often moan about to you? When it has an hour, when it just will not behave, it will not do the job for you, so you might as well just give up and come back later like a naughty kid.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I know what you're saying because it's happened to me. I was writing a piece yesterday which should have taken all about 10 minutes. 2 hours later, I was still arguing with the damn thing, trying to get it to what seemed obvious. My prompt seemed to be fairly okay, because I've given it many times in different forms.
Yeah.
This thing just kept going down a cul-de-sac. It just would not get out of it.
What might that be?
It's caught in a loop. I mean, honestly, it's caught in a thinking loop. There's a whole lot of requirements of it. You know, there are things called nodes, which are every single character you use. It just literally gets in the loop and just cannot get itself out of it. It doesn't matter how much sense you try and talk to this thing. Mm. It just will not. So I agree with you. I will often not turn the thing off, but I'll often get out of it and come back to it later.
That's exactly what I do.
And I know that's not a great thing to do when there are people screaming at us as they should, because they have a far better answer, which I would love to hear. But to me, it's the equivalent of just throwing a brick at it. You know, at this moment, at this time, we are not friends. I will come back when we are, and you've calmed down, and we'll do it again. See, because when I do that, it will give me what I want. I know it will, because it's done it before. Just right now, we're just not speaking the same language.
It's one of the cool things about it, actually. I mean, we're not talking about a search engine here. I use it for a lot of audio things. It starts speaking Klingon to me sometimes, and I'm just, this isn't going to work. I literally have to stop and go away for a coffee.
Yeah. Now, I don't get the Klingon so much, but it keeps giving me information and things that I just don't want. I mean, I've already told it 3-4 times, or I've written to it 3-4 times. I just don't want this. This isn't what I want. And for some reason, just keeps repeating that thing.
And then you say, do this again. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, I'll do this again. Yeah. And then it gives you the same old junk.
Yeah. It was creating a graphic for me yesterday to go with a piece that I want to put out. And it normally does that quite well. In fact, it's gotten much better at doing it in the last 3 or 4 weeks with upgrades in ChatGPT and others. But it just would not give me the graphic. It kept telling me it was there, and then it kept saying it will print it out. So but every time it did, it fell over.
So the answer is basically put the lid down and come back later.
The answer to that was, and I've tried it many times, and it will often work, just not always, is I actually approach it in a different way. I ask it what the problem is. So I've said to you, I teach it like a petulant, I treat it like a petulant child. I will often say to it that we've tried this a number of times in these kinds of words, because I do try very plain English with it. Try this a couple of times. Doesn't seem to be working. You seem to be stuck on this, that, and the other. Help me to understand where the issue is with producing this, and let's see how we can get it differently. Words to that effect. And it will come back and it will give you instructions. This is where I'm stuck. This is what I need. If we chunk it down, if we use a different program. And sometimes that will work.
Is it that it doesn't know it's in a weird loop?
It might not. Remember, this thing is not a thinking thing.
No, this thing is
really just like, it's just like a piece of magic. It's mimicry and maths. It's not really doing anything except for going back into its algorithm, which are the, you know, the fancy way it's written itself to understand what you need from it and then do it. And for some reason, it's stuck in there. It's just, it is not thinking. And that's where I find most of us get really disappointed with it, because we have this version of us thinking, and it's not. It's just literally stuck in its maths.
What's your thinking on prompts, Maurice? You've alluded to it just now.
I think prompts are the most important thing you can do. It doesn't matter which program you do or how you use any form of this AI-ness. A prompt is the magic to getting this thing to work properly. Now, a prompt is a series of words that you put together as you would, and I've said many times, as you would for a child or somebody else when you want something. You try and be as clear as you can be so that they understand what you want and they can give you back what it is. To me, that's a prompt. And the better it's written, the more detail you give it, the better the information is that comes back.
What kind of trick is behind this, I mean,
I can give you the four things I put into it.
Yep.
But a trick for this is you can also ask it to give you the prompt. I need you to do this for me. Tell me what the best form of a prompt is to get it. And it will give you it, and it'll, not brackets, but it'll give you where you need to insert information. So it'll say, you know, for this, this is what you need to say, da-da-da-da, and tell me what I need to know, and you fill in that little bit, and you can actually write the prompt together if you
that's
want.
That's a good one, like reverse.
Sometimes that's a good way to go.
Reverse engineering the prompt.
Yeah, now, yeah, and that's what this thing is. The biggest message for me is that this thing is not human. You can annoy it and ask again and again. Yeah. It is not going to get upset with you.
Hands up who's ever done that.
Badly of you.
I hope he doesn't mind doing another.
Yeah. Because I find people, and sometimes even me, are doing that. You know, for a human, you wouldn't ask the same question 16 ways in different ways because somebody would just get really upset with you.
Yeah.
This thing doesn't. It's not programmed to do. It'll be as wonderful as you want it to be. So please just take the call. There, it's calling again. It'll take, you know, the phone never rings except when I'm on with you.
No, it's all good, mate. It's all good, mate.
So the reality is that this thing will just keep going until you've had enough. So please don't feel afraid that you're going to break it, you're going to embarrass yourself or anything else. Just keep trying over and over again.
However, Maurice, you have told me use human niceties to it because it was trained by humans, it will respond.
Yeah, there's actually been a little bit of research around it, that when you say please, thank you, and those niceness that we say to each other, it actually responds a bit better. Now, part of that's research, part of it, I think, is just wishful thinking on the part of humans. But what's happening, I think, is that when you actually ask in that way, you are asking it in a better, clearer way. I think it's actually the psychology of humans interacting rather than the machine interacting.
Mm. A few more seconds with Maurice Misiolowski. Recap today's session, Maurice. What do we need to remember?
I'll get AI to do it.
Yeah.
The most important thing is Suno.ai. Create a jingle for everything in your life. Drive your wife, your husband, your partner, your work crazy with Suno.ai and play them. They are wonderful. I think I should start selling this thing, but I'm not. I mean, it's free.
Take it easy, Maurice. Brilliant talking to you. Love it.